gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong. Wrong.
It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Here, let me adjust my gizmos and gadgets and wires and cables and schmables and all that kind of weird stuff. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you will anoint us. We need your anointing. We need the anointing so that of Job, really, to give us that kind of patience. We know that your will and your timing is perfect. We praise you for that, although sometimes deep down inside you know that we don't really agree. But it's okay, Father. We want that kind of an intimate relationship with you. And, you know, it really is good to have you and our Lord Jesus to have conversations with when we're struggling with with what clearly appears to be kind of like delays in the game, the end times game, a little bit. And there's people with all kinds of opinions about, oh, what prophecy has to happen or what, you know, what has to happen first, what has to happen second. I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. I think that right now at this point, we're very, very eligible for departure at any time right now. And I prayed you for that, Father God, because that keeps our hopes up. And we ask you, Lord, to keep the evil one away from us, as it says, as we sometimes pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We need you to keep the evil one away from us. We need you to purify our food, not just give us this food or give us, you know, our daily bread, Father God, but we need you, please, in Jesus' name, to purify all of our food, to purify all of the air that we breathe, to purify all of the drinks that we drink, Father God, because the things, the sickness, the darkness, the depth of the darkness, what would you call it? The how intense they are about killing us. It's just amazing. And I do believe, Father, that if it wasn't for your anointing upon many of us, if not all of us, that we probably would have by now come down with something pretty horrible. And there's some pretty horrible stuff out there, real horrible. So anyway, we just thank you, Father, for, you know, if we're going to have to go through these times as far as we've gone thus far, and maybe a little longer, then we're just asking you for supernatural and divine protection around each and every one of us and our loved ones, that they will not be affected by the evil that has been, it's in our water supply, it's everywhere around us, graphene oxide, all kinds of creepy, weird mRNA stuff being injected into virtually everything that we eat nowadays, just right down to the, well, everything, pretty much everything. So, Father, we just thank you for that divine protection. We pray that you will continue to protect us. We don't want to have to endure the days that we have left here. hobbling along, barely able to breathe, in a hospital room. We're praying that you will divinely protect us, Father, until the day is, till the day comes that we may depart. We thank you, Father, and we live, and we pray that we will die, but there is no such thing as death for us. But we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will count us each worthy to escape all these things, all these things, because we believe that the Word comes from Jesus, and Jesus is the Word, and the Word was God, and there is no way it's coming back void. All those things, and we believe it with all of our heart. We stand behind your Word, Father God. We're going to stand behind it no matter what. We're going to keep on pushing through, no matter how slow this La Brea tar pit of end times events gets, and we're going to give you the praise every single day. Every single day, Father, for every single day that appears to be a delay to us is probably salvation to many others. You're an awesome Father, and we love you. And we ask you, please always remember to give us a fish and not a rock. Father, one more thing in the name of Jesus. If there are any evil eyes, prying eyes, eyes that shouldn't be listening, entities that are using devices and electronics and various just end times technology, Father, without getting into all of the creepy dynamics associated with it all, we just pray, Father God, that you will make good eyes blind, good ears deaf, shut down their technologies, Father God, have them catch on fire in the mighty name of Jesus. Protect us from the never-ending palantirs of the world. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and thank you, Father, forever and ever, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We'll never make it. Never. We're done for.
I don't think so. As long as you have power in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Okay, well, there's a lot of things that are going on right now, but none of them are the advancement of World War III. For those of you who do not understand, and I hope that you do by now, the advancement of World War III must happen before the rapture occurs. Simple as that. And you may say to yourself, well, why do you say so? My pastor doesn't say so. So-and-so doesn't say so. You know, whatever. I say so because I know so. I'm just going to tell you, I know so. All right, so, you know, it's all part of what we have to go through. It's all part of the progression of the scripture. It's all lined up. It is in sequential order. However, the actual scrolls in Revelation chapter 6 roll out in parallel. That's what we see happening right now. I suspected this and called it out well over 8 years ago, and I've been maintaining it because it hit me. And a lot of people would say, well, the Holy Spirit told me. Well, I don't like to go there because I think way too many people use the Holy Spirit trump card, and then next thing you know, they're at some sort of a Trump fest telling everybody that Jesus sent one of the largest, most evil, baby-killing Draco reptilians to save everybody. Yeah, you're hearing from the Holy Spirit like McDonald's food is good for us. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Anyways, so we're going to talk a little bit tonight about, and this is definitely going to be a 2-hour show, because I'm just not going to be rushed. I don't care. And besides, it's kind of in the middle of the day, and there's things going on. They're setting me up with a new gig. That's a good thing. So I'm, you know, I take solace and peace from that. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm stuck in a place right now waiting for the next gig to ramp up, and that's fine. So I just thought to myself, I looked at the clock and I was like thinking to myself, well, rather than running this into the evening, why would somebody be... that's just the way it works. So anyway, rather than running the creation of this program into the evening, which didn't make any sense, and sitting here and twiddling my thumbs, I just decided that I would go ahead and handle it right now and go ahead and do the program. Now, at first I thought to myself I wouldn't really have that much to talk about. But when you hurry your way through the big headlines, the various testimonies of the experts and such that are out there that we tend to touch upon and cover quite frequently, you end up rushing through it, I think, a little bit. I do sometimes. It's very tricky doing radio shows, and I used to do some people are aware that I used to do 3-hour long radio shows for like 14-15 years, and it was well over 7,000, 4.6 million listens, and we had guests from all over the world, all kinds of serial authors, Dr. David Jacobs on human, alien human hybrids, which he coined the phrase hybrids, which were used to, and they're still being used to this day, to infiltrate society and the Congress of whoever, but particularly the United States of Babylon the Great. I have actual film footage of them doing their thing. There's a lot of confusion that's going on. There's a lot of confusion over all kind of things. For one thing, I think right now the biggest confusion issue, I think pretty much with the exception of 99.9% of the people out there have no clue what's going on. But at least out of this small group of folks that do have some sort of an idea what's going on and are up on things, it's relatively well known that we're going to go back into a war with Iran, and it's going to be bad. Now, and I, for whatever reason, my Clonidin decided to kick in, and I'm just going to have to take a lot of sips of water. Otherwise, I'll just... it's an inside joke kind of thing. So anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about alien logic, because it just completely escapes people. Think of anybody that you can think of. I'm not going to name names because I'm just not going to go there. But anybody that you can think of that's a famous Christian person who's made lots of DVDs, written a lot of books about aliens. I'm going to tell you something. They're wrong. Simple as that. They're wrong. I know as a fact that they're wrong. But that's because I can guarantee you that I have studied more information on this subject, had more people on the radio show discussing this subject, have spoken to people in person about this subject, including Christians who have spoken to Jesus about this subject. And I'm telling you, the other ones that are out there are not correct. They're just simply not correct. And there's something a matter with the brain of a human. Again, it falls back down into the lack of critical thinking skills. They just don't have them. Human beings do not have critical thinking skills. They don't. There's a very teeny, weeny, weeny, little bitty percentage of them that do. But even they tend to fall short most of the time. True critical thinking skills allows you to be able to look at things from every possible viewpoint or vantage point that you could possibly think of, from God's viewpoint, from the devil's viewpoint, from a Satanist viewpoint, from the little kid's viewpoint, from your Aunt Matilda's viewpoint, you name it. You can look at it from every possible viewpoint. You can look at it from every possible timeline. You can ask yourself, what would somebody from the 1500s think if they saw something like that and come up with a pretty reasonable answer? You have that ability. It is innately built into your mind. You don't have to put any effort into it. You don't have to make a big list to try to think things through very well. But one thing that'll help you more than anything is thinking. And you'll forget this just right after I tell you. There's very little chance that you'll remember this, but I'll tell it to you. Part of the formula is quid bono. Who benefits? What's the motive? If you can't answer that question, then you can't even fall back on Occam's razor. You have very little to base your opinion of. Oh, that's just how I feel. Well, you know, that's fine. And you know what? That just means that you fit in to the 99 percentile of all humans that are out there. I would never want to be in that group. So over the last 15, now working on the 16th year, of doing thousands of radio shows with all kinds of unbelievers and people that have been taken on very large spaceships and met and had conversations with extremely, to me, interesting alien beings. It could time travel and everything else under the sun. I've been there. I've walked down all these streets. I've had all these conversations. I've read all the books. I've listened to all the DVDs. And I know what I'm talking about. I do. And I think the odds of me being incorrect on this subject are extremely low. Infinitesimally small by comparison of anybody else that you might listen to out there. Does that sound puffed up? Oh, well. I earned that badge. I earned that badge. Praise God. Now, you also have to remember 1 Corinthians 8:2, if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet as they ought to know. So we always got to be ready to be wrong. Most people are not ready to be wrong. They don't like to be wrong. They go out and they write books, and they want to stand behind their books, because in Volume 3 they said this, that, and the other thing about the aliens. Well, pride is a very powerful and sad thing, because pride will prevent you faster than anything from shifting gears. Anybody who talks about a controversial subject, including the interpretation of the Bible, should be able to just come right out in front of a million-person audience and say, you know what? I used to think this, but I thought it over again, and now I think this. And that's one of the things I loved about Jack Van Impe. Jack Van Impe would come out and he would say, I believe that the locusts in Revelation are helicopters. And then he, you know, a couple of years ago by, and he goes, oh, I no longer think that. I think this now. And that's, I loved that about Jack. He didn't have an inkling of pride in his entire makeup. And if you are not like that, you have no business talking about the Bible to anybody, because you're almost certainly going to mislead them. Fact. And I've seen it thousands of times. I'll tell you what, if I lost a pound for every time I had to bite my tongue just about until it bled, with guests that I had on the radio show, because the stuff they were talking about I knew was absolutely incorrect. And the only time I ever cut them off, which is a miracle, was when what they were saying was misleading the audience in such a fashion that it could jeopardize their salvation. That was the red line. That's when I would cut over to the music and say, and thank you for joining us tonight. Or whatever, you know. Anyway.
This is disturbing.
Yeah, his whole life here on this alien demon infested rock is disturbing. But anyway, praise God. So we're going to talk a little bit about the alien stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about the hantavirus. Could it be, might it be, the next pandemic? There's all these people out there talking about pandemics and lockdowns, everybody. Huge. When I say everybody, what I'm really referring to is the 2 percentile. The people that at least have almost everything right. What they never have right is they never have that Donald Trump is a Draco reptilian and he is fully engaged in doing all the evil that he's doing. People giving him a hall pass and saying, oh, well, he was misled because so-and-so in the West Wing told him that this, that, and the other thing. And, bull! There's nothing misled about that piece of walking dung. All right, so anyway, I got that off my shoulders. I feel much better now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, ICE. Turns out that they're up to the same thing they've been doing for a really long time, but on a much larger scale right now. We talked a little bit about the encampments, I call them FEMA camps. It's just like a tissue. Not every tissue is a Kleenex, but if you say pass it, you know how it is. Using words to just generalize on a particular subject, so I call them FEMA camps. But anyway, the ones that they had down in Australia and how they had the actual black gas lines, we paid the testimony lines, you know, the black lack of gas lines so that they would be able to gas the people that were located in these tiny, tiny little, you can't even call them one bedrooms, really. They weren't even efficiencies. They were little jail cells is what they were, all over being, quarantined from COVID and all that. Well, is that coming again for the hantavirus? Some people are like all happy because they're like, hey, at least I'm not going to have, I'll be able to do remote work again. I won't have to go into the office. You know what? I don't blame them a bit. But, and then you've got, again, these incinerators. What are, I've known about the incinerators for a long time. Almost everything that, if you go to Rumble and you flip around on Rumble, or you go to anywhere, to any of the most controversial, what would you call them? I was going to say formats. You pick it. Sources of audio visual information. Take your pick. Wherever you may go, whatever they're talking about, I guarantee you, I've already talked about it a lot. And anybody that's been with this program, Tribulation Now, ever since 2011, knows I'm not exaggerating, even in the tiniest little bit. As a matter of fact, we've done three entire hours on one subject at sometimes, usually after we went past a little bit of the news, but we've covered some seriously. One guy had, I laughed, but he said, boy, listening to John and Kenneth is like kind of a mixture of going to church and staying up all night for, what do they call that with George Norrie? Coast to Coast AM. It's like mixing church with Coast to Coast AM, and it kind of was. Anyway, praise God. All right. Well, the incinerators, the FEMA coffins are this plastic coffins is what they are. You can throw four bodies into them. They are patented as cremation containers for cadavers. Okay. And that's what they were made for. They were made here's the real the root cause for that. The reason the deep darkest of all reasons why cremation containers for cadavers or FEMA coffins were made was because during World War II, when they were burning the flesh of the people that were being burned in the various ovens at Treblinka and Dachau and wherever. Okay, people would smell something in the air. And the smell of burning flesh is something that usually just about every living human is aware of. And it has a distinct smell. Okay. But the thing is, I can see how you could be walking down the street and smelling it, but you'd be in a state of denial and saying, no, that can't possibly be. Can't possibly be what I think it's what I, that kind of thing. I get that. I totally get that. Because who would think that? Who would imagine in their worst nightmares? But who would imagine Draco Tisa Draco? Who would imagine that he killed little babies? All that other stuff. Huh? And much worse. So anyway, so what happened was when the soldiers would come, they'd go on leave. I don't know anything about the periodicity of their leave. I know nothing about that. But there were, I did study that subject, World War II and everything about it for years and years. Anyway, they would go on leave and they'd go home to mom and pa and grandma and grandpa and they'd have a little dinner and everything and eat Wiener Schnitzel or whatever. And then, how are you doing, girling, whatever. And they would start to cry, of course, and start to leak out information that they were forbidden to speak about, and they told their parents what was going on to some degree, I suppose. I don't know how much, but one thing that they did, the parents and the grandmas and the grandpas eventually did find out through their kids that were in the military at the various camps that it was burning flesh. Well, that was a real problem because it kind of gave away the secret. You don't really want people to know that you're cooking up such an evil stew, right? So you're like going, okay, well, what are we going to do the next time? The next time, because World War II really is just a big, bad, evil practice session for what they're going to bring for the Fourth Reich, okay? And these people out there that are saying things like Fifth Reich and all that other stuff, please just flip the switch to off. It's just a bunch of bunk. But anyway, everybody likes to make things special. It's theirs. They discovered it. Oh, wow, it's mine. pioneer. Aren't I the world's smartest person? You know what? Whatever. Make up whatever you want to. Make up all kinds of stories. If you need to make a little bit extra money for your Rumble channel, you go for it. Go for it. Fortunately, thank you, Jesus, I have a job and I don't need it. And I don't want it. All right. So anyway, so the incinerators go with the FEMA coffins. The FEMA coffins, if you read the patent, which I did, okay, what happens is when they're pushed with four bodies in, it's not a three-body problem. It's not a three-body problem. It's a four-body problem. And they push the four bodies inside them, unless you got a really big one, like some of these, you know, libs at TikTok stuff that shows up on X once in a while. But anyway, and they roll them inside the incinerators. Now, these are industrial-grade incinerators, all right? What that means is, and hold on just a second, I got to pause my thing. Okay, back to the four body problem. So they had to get rid of the burning flesh smell leaking out everywhere. Well, if you read the patent like I did, it says, it explains that it's a specially designed so that the plastics collapse inward and down upon the burning flesh of the individuals that are inside of there. And it contains the fumes. Well, wow, if that ain't a great selling point, because, you know, if you're just having to be traveling around from county to county across the wonderful, Babylon the Great, you know, it makes it easier to sell incinerators and FEMA coffins when you can say to them, you know what, it's not going to let out any of those nasty smells, and if there's some kind of a terrible pandemic going on, it's going to kill all the evil bugs, and none of that stuff's going to get out and hurt anybody, so you really want these FEMA coffins because they're very special. They're going to protect everybody in your neighborhood, and they burn real fast. They melt super fast, so you can just roll like tons and tons of bodies in there really quick, be done with it, and you'd be home bouncing little Johnny on your knee that night. Well, turns out that they're back at it, but now in much larger volumes. See, I've known that the emergency operations centers, the EOCs, which there is one in every single county in the United States of America. All right, these EOCs, emergency operations centers, are what they fire up with designated personnel, which are known as which they refer to as I don't know, it's indispensable or something like that. It's a synonym of indispensable, required personnel or something. They have to stay there during terrible hurricanes. Katrina, you name it, doesn't matter. Giant forest fire coming to gobble them up, whatever the case is, they have to stay. Essential personnel, that's what they call it. It's essential personnel. You don't want to work for the county government and be essential personnel if something really bad is happening. Because, you know, if a giant monster is coming out of the water to eat everybody, you got to kind of hang out there and just get eaten like a, Jurassic Park, kind of thing. All right. So anyway, They're buying up a particular lady was looking around. People knows about, and I like that because it makes my job easier because I don't have time to sit around a lot, and I don't know why they have time, but they do, and that's good for them because I'll just jump on their shoulders and take everything that they learned. I'll put it on top of the stuff that I learned 15 years ago, and then I'll be like, whoa, this is really exploding. The incinerator business is where you want to be if you want to get into sales. Forget about those $100 suits in Akron, Ohio. You want to sell incinerators because they're going like hotcakes. Okay, and these come with government grant money. Okay, so what happens is they're putting up so all these different places that forget about the oh my gosh, all these AI data centers that they're putting up. They're using eminent domain. They're chasing people off their property that's been in their family and all their lives, and once they pull out the eminent domain paperwork, you're gone. You just get what they offer you, and it's not going to be market value. They say it's market value, but they're liars. You know, everybody, all these entities are liars. Most of them are reptilians, as far as I'm concerned. I almost feel like, I wish the Lord would figure out or somehow make it available to us, kind of like, like fenbendazole and ivermectin, come out with some kind of, dropper, maybe some hydrogen peroxide and some water where you can put a dropper of it on somebody's skin and it would tell you if they were reptilian. I'd carry it with me everywhere I went. They're like, hey, boss, I didn't know you were a reptilian. You're fired. So we've got that going on. We got the hantavirus right now, which they're trying really, really hard to, there's already places that are locking down Yeah. I don't have the list of them. I tried to look them up, but it's every single hour or so, there's more and more that are jumping on the bandwagon. What countries they're in, what parts of those countries they're in, I don't know. I don't care. But I'm here to tell you that there is a wave of lockdowns that are coming. Now, speaking of lockdowns, there are also lockdowns that are coming that are associated with the power issue. But it's going to be a lot more than that, because it's not just power. It's also food. It's just like almost any. What they did was the Khazarian Mafia, Synagogue of Satan, what they did was they went directly after that which is needed for everything. Okay. That which is needed for everything. So when you cut off energy supplies, which is needed for everything, and you cut off the transit system for the energy supplies, which is needed for everything, it has an unavoidable ripple effect across the entire globe. It'll hit different countries worse than other countries at different times, but it's coming here. It's coming everywhere. No one is exempt. No one is exempt. Okay. And the creepy adrenochrome flesh-eating creatures that are out there dwelling amongst us, entertaining us on our movies at night, that's a whole different, I guarantee you their supply chain ain't running out. All right. So anyway, enough of that. Also, there was an Ohio class submarine that was spotted. Now, first off, you don't spot Ohio-class submarines. I'm just making it perfectly clear. I put in my time in the United States Navy, and I know what I'm talking about. You do not spot Ohio-class submarines. And if you do spot an Ohio-class submarine, these are the ones that have the Trident II missiles. These are the ones that one submarine can take out pretty much three-quarters of the world. I mean, all of the major cities. One, and they got like 14 of them completely full of, tridents with multiple independent reentry vehicles. We're talking about one of these things can take out like 8, 10, 12 cities. Just one. And there's like 24 on every one of the 14 subs. So there's a lot. There's like, they just wipe out the Earth like three times over and then still have some left over for the penguins in Antarctica. Oh, well. So anyway, yes, it was on purpose. They wanted, that's the only way you're going to see one, is on purpose. And it was by the Strait of Gibraltar, okay? And the filthy entities from the bowels of Sheol that are running, this most unfortunate, soon to be horribly judged existence of what might have at one time been a half decent country and now definitely is and is hated almost as much as Israel across the entire world. Thank you, Draco D. Job well done, buddy. Take a bow, you stinking piece of... Well, anyway, I'll just control myself because I might accidentally, No, I won't. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, they had one cruising by the Strait of Gibraltar, and it was a big deal. Everybody's talking about it. I look at it. Oh, my gosh. It's an Ohio class. Wow. Look at that. It's heading over toward Israel. What do you think they're going to do with it? Yeah, so it's all saber-rattling at this point. Oh, don't get me wrong. I know how Dracos think. I've been studying those things for years and years and years. Draco reptilians are a very big part of the reason why I got divorced. Because my wife flipped out when I started to explain them to her. She was like, I'm sorry, but I don't see the world the same way you do. That started the time bomb ticking down. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. And then I cast lots with a thesaurus, and it said knife to throat. And then I was like, thank you, Lord. Because I needed to know if she's going to hang out, and I knew at that point she wasn't. Which I was right. Anyway, the Lord told me what I needed to know to be right. I'll put it that way. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So anyway, we got that. Also, we have a medical doctor, I believe, and he's definitely a doctor of some type. And he may be some type of a pathologist, but he has been studying humans that have been affected for a long, long time now by the injections of the, you know, for the coronavirus. Okay. You know, and the ones that went in for, you know, all the Pfizer shots and the Moderna shots and the ones that went in for, oh, I'll have another. Oh, I'll have another. Oh, I'll have another. My brain has not completely stopped functioning yet, although it's pretty close. I'll have another. I'll have another. Anyway, turns out that he's found some sort of data, according to his testimony, that the situation is about to get a lot worse. Look, I don't know, you know, if you do, a lot of people don't do doom scrolling. A lot of people can't handle it. They can't. And that's, to me, that's too bad. Okay, so, you know, I know there are people out there that want to cry every time they see a kitty cat, you know, caught between a fence or whatever. I get it. I understand empathy. All right. I took all the HSP, highly sensitive people testing and everything, and I came out at a 14, which is close to being a full blown empath. And I'm there. But fortunately for me, I had a female pastor that had a conversation with me because she has traveled around the world. She's been all kinds of places like, you know, all over Africa. And let me tell you something. If you can stomach that, you can stomach anything. All right. You hearing me? So she explained to me one time because I was having one of my little, you know, emotional moments. She said, John, you're never going to get rid of the sick. You're never going to get rid of the poor. You're never going to get rid of the starving. You're never going to get rid of, the Satanist. You're never going to get rid of this. You're never going to get rid of that. You're never going to get rid of this. You know, you need to get past it. You know, because if you are so much of a sensitive person that you become useless to God because you're so busy boo-hooing in the closet, you're useless to God. It's not good for the bride of Jesus Christ to be useless to God. Shake it off. They're always going to be there. Jesus himself, when he was in one of the passages, he was walking with a whole bunch of people following him, and there were multitudes and multitudes and multitudes that were following him because they wanted to see the miracles and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus just wanted the people that had the right heart, the spiritual acuity, to stay with him. So he got to the top of the hill and he turned around and he said as loud as he could. Now, remember, there's probably thousands and thousands of people down in the valley that he's yelling to. Kind of like a Moses thing. And he yells out to him. He says, if you cannot eat of my blood and drink of my, drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you should not follow me. And everybody was like, this guy's some kind of a psycho. This is like Hannibal Lecter. Let's get out of here. Jesus did that on purpose. He wanted to get rid of them. No, you say. Oh, yes, I do say. He wanted the ones that had the spiritual acuity, the strength, to follow after him, to be able to look at the little leper children and help them, to lay your hands like David Hogan used to do or has done on a leper and have enough faith. You know, leprosy is spread by the touching of the skin. And David Hogan had so much faith when he went into this one village, they took him over to a man that was dying of leprosy, and his whole abdomen was all squishy because the skin had, you know, turned into mush. And David Hogan didn't give a rip. His faith was enough to raise the dead. That was the name of the series that he recorded, Faith to Raise the Dead. Anybody who hasn't heard David Hogan's 9-part series, Faith to Raise the Dead, you're missing out. And he goes directly in there and he lays hands on that person that had advanced leprosy. And he said that is, he could feel his hand squishing right into the leprous flesh. And he said, in the mighty name of Jesus, I command you to be made whole. And he picked up a cloth and he wiped all the leprous gooey flesh off of his hand. Washed his hands off. And he left. Well, a couple of years later, he went back to the same village and he drove up in a Jeep, and a man came running out of one of the buildings, and he was like, Mr. Hogan, Mr. Hogan, remember me? Mr. Hogan, remember me? And David got out of the Jeep and he said, I'm sorry, but I don't remember you. He said, I was the man that you prayed for that was dying of leprosy. And I'll bet there were some tears that were shed at that moment. I would have lost it, that's for sure. It's incredible. I talked to David Hogan. I wanted to go to Mexico. When he told me to come, that's when I started to cry. Because I realized I was too locked into all this stuff. I don't mean my house and that kind of stuff. I would have just done, I would have ditched that in seconds flat. I wanted to go so bad I couldn't stand it. The problem was I was married. I had obligations. I couldn't just walk out of my wife. You know what I mean? So I was stuck. I realized I was. Broke my heart. I wanted to go so bad. A lot of people's brains going bad. Pastors filmed praying to a 22-foot gold statue that is now outside of the golf course of the Draconian from Hell, given to him from other Draconians from Hell, and more. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and play you some of these audio bites so you can get a listen to some of the testimonies. And since I'm already bound and determined to make this a multiple-hour program, I need the time because there's just no way I'm going to be able to get through the content. Simple as that. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, I don't know every single person that speaks in every single one of these audio bites, but I'm going to go ahead and chisel my way through these for you. Okay, this is Ryan Mata, and he does have kind of a bad problem with dropping the F-bomb, so kids, you know, just be ready to leave the room if your mom says so, okay? I know, just hang in there. I'm afraid as long as we're stuck on this earth, if God doesn't Isaiah 57:1 you out of here, we're all going to be hearing a lot of F-bombs and more. It's going to get pretty toasty out there, folks. You think you're going to get... I admit it. I'm going to try to stay in my house as much as I possibly can. Oh, and don't forget those ticks. Those ticks. There are ticks being found everywhere. I'm talking about tick bombs. Okay, people are reporting them. They're outdoorsmen. Z type of people that like to go outside and ride around, and oh, they love to mow the lawn, and they like to do this and they like to do that, and you know, they like to garden. Well, I'm here to tell you, those ticks, those they're not Rocky Mountain ticks, what are they called? Lone Star ticks. All of those have been injected with the dagnabbit, here I put it in the title of the show. Lone Star ticks with the alpha gal virus. Okay, now you have to understand something here. The videos that are coming in of these things are by the hundreds of thousands. There are so many being dropped from helicopters right now. There are people that are walking through their backyard or maybe down by a local creek, and they're all over their legs, all over their shoes, and they're exclaiming they've never seen anything like it. And if that's because they were nearby one of the drop points, can you imagine how fast they're going to spread? And if you get the alpha gal virus, you're not going to be able to eat meat ever again. And by the way, that's one of their ways of killing you. Because most people that are vegetarians essentially are killing themselves. Sooner or later, they'll compromise and change their diet up because they'll wither away. There is no possible way that the human body is okay. As a matter of fact, it even says, I believe it's in Romans, let me think, it's not 14. maybe it is, where it says that, you know, essentially most people eat meat, but the weak, some of the weak out there will eat vegetables only. Well, no wonder they're weak. They're going to get weaker, too. And a lot of them, you should see. I mean, I've known people that were, you know, vegetarians. And let me tell you something. Don't arm wrestle them. You'll break their arm right off. We're talking about the, don't be looking for any gluteus maximus in these folks. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play this little bite. It's only about 2 minutes, 30 seconds long. And you know, let's just hear what this is about. It appears to be about the data centers, but there may be more to it than that. Amen? All right, here we go. Praise God. And this, again, is Ryan Mata making a commentary. Wait a minute. Yeah.
For all Americans. But I want to put it into perspective because I have a question for some of the women that are dating what they consider a protector or an alpha male. If you're dating somebody that would literally die or kill to protect his family, I just want to ask you one question. What would your husband or your significant other, your boyfriend, whoever, what would he do if one morning he woke up and in the backyard was a gentleman and he was standing over the well? You know, this is the water that you guys are directly drinking. And he was standing over your water with Roundup bleach and some toxic chemicals that he was just dumping into your well. He was poisoning your well. You think that man would be walking off your property? Or do you think your husband would kill him and possibly maybe end up in prison? You think your husband would snap and not be able to control himself? I know I would be pretty fucking irate. I don't know if that person would be walking off my property, okay? Now, there's a story we're going to get into. It's probably going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, so I apologize. But now, in order to put this into perspective, I need you to understand a little bit about history. So I think a lot of us have come to the realization that it's not really just a conspiracy theory, that there is a specific group of people who have been kicked out of 111 nations, and it's happened over like 1,100 or 1,200 times. Now, why were they kicked out is the question. Well, there's two different reasons. There's some satanic ritual sacrifice of children that I can't really get into and talk about how it's done because it'll get this video kicked off the internet. But one of the ones that's very well known and actually admitted to is the poisoning of wells. So when do the poisoning of wells happen? They normally happen when a specific country starts to turn its back on the chosen ones. When they finally get fed up with the usury, when they finally get fed up with the filth that they promote on their children, the porn, the LGBTQ, the demonic energy, the satanic worshiping, the sacrifices. That's when a nation finally looks at it and goes, wow, there's only one group of people that's promoting that filth into our society, and it's destroying the fabric of our society. You know, 30% of our females that are under the age of 24 consider OnlyFans their primary source of income. So America has got to that point. Now, what are these AI data centers doing? Those AI data centers are pretty much connected to every large fresh body of water throughout our entire country. Just in the last year, I believe, they've broke ground on over 2,300 AI data centers. Now, what are these AI data centers doing to our water? They're completely poisoning all of it. And they've strategically built these AI data centers at every strategical water location all throughout our country. And even when the citizens show up and they say, fuck no, I want nothing to do with this. We do not want this in our town. We do not consent. We do not allow this. They come and they put it there anyways. And in less than probably 24 months, almost every fresh body of water in America is going to be poison. It's going to be toxic. The value of your property and your real estate is going to collapse. The economy is going to collapse. The US dollar is going to collapse. And when it does, it's going to bring America to its knees. And in order to bring back the chosen one's Messiah, they believe that they must bring, the West must fall. It's literally in their biblical scripture. Their Messiah returns when the West falls. So if you ever wonder why they've been kicked out of so many countries, and if you haven't been noticing, it almost feels like they want you to hate them. They want you to hate them. You can't look at it any other way. Why would they live stream a genocide on 4K for the world to see? They have the ability to prevent that. They have the ability to deplatform us all. But yet they haven't. They control the social media platforms, the money, the banks, the infrastructure. They control it all. And yet they haven't been able to stop these messages from getting out. It's because they want them to get out. Because they need our America to turn its back on them. So that way, when they do what they're going to do, they have justification for it. I need you guys to let me know what you think down in those comments. I'm just a crazy conspiracy theorist in American Reich hoodie, rocking that America Reich merch, you know, the greatest political movement in all of American history. It's weird that these type of political movements always start popping up right around the same time throughout history, over and over and over and over.
All right. There was a lot of stuff in there. I don't know. I don't know exactly how much of it is 100% accurate or not, but the stuff about the destruction of the United States is spot on. Absolutely spot on. I do know that the homes that are pretty much within 100 yards or 200 yards probably of, well, actually, if they're running well water, well, it's game over. Now, if it's coming from city water, I'm not saying that you're completely, immune to that dynamic, but it would be harder. They're going to go to places that are, to put the data centers up, they're going to already look for open land. So when you have a home that you love because it's out in the, and you got horses and you're loving it and it's beautiful at night and you can see fireflies, although those are disappearing now, that's the areas that they're going after. But the part about everything else that he said, it sounded to me pretty much like it's spot on. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So anyway, let's go ahead and see what we have next in the list. Here we have Jeffrey Sachs. He's always been a cool cucumber, real smooth, real cool. Real, you know, just the perfect gentleman professor. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, when he's trying to make a point about how evil somebody is, he picks out some pretty powerful words to make his point. Well, this particular commentary by Professor Jeffrey Sachs was slightly more emotionally packed than some of the previous ones. And I said, okay, we got to play that on the program. All right. So anyway, here you go. I don't even know how many minutes this is, but this is Professor Jeffrey Sachs, again, giving, if you will, an end time synopsis. I don't think he sees it as an end time thing, although hopefully he does sooner or later, everybody. But anyway, let's listen to this. And it's, he definitely put some oomph into it this time. Here we go.
Open the straits, you crazy. This is a president of the United States. This is not normal. This is not even a threat. This is a kind of insanity. That's my point. That's the point I've been making for quite a while. This is a clinical issue. We've never had a president of the United States ever in our history, 250 years, speak like Donald Trump wrote yesterday, because he is a sick man. And of course, nobody wants to say it. Just like the emperor with no clothes. Everyone wants to say, oh, Donald's my friend. I don't know, maybe Prime Minister Modi would still say, Donald's my friend. But he's not a friend of anybody. He's not a friend of India. He's not a friend of anybody. This is a sick man. And he has in control the most powerful military in the world. And he's going to kill a lot of people tomorrow on his whim. And this is taken as normal. And our newspapers and our Congress stands back just asking, oh, what do you think he will do? How many people will he kill? Will he follow through? Not, how do we stop this madness? Because this is madness. I know that the Iranians did not want a nuclear weapon and they wanted to negotiate. I know that because they called me repeatedly. Mr. Sachs, do you know anyone in the White House? Do you know anyone we can talk to? Because I hang out at the United Nations, because I've met the president of Iran on two occasions. And he spent both hours just talking about peace. And I had to feel so sad What a nice man, a heart surgeon, who doesn't understand the contemptible president of the United States, who's going to take any words of a nice heart surgeon and say, I think I'll kill you. And that's how they're behaving right now. And why can't world leaders say something about this before it's too late? That's what makes me especially upset. Look, I'm a professor. Why can't a world leader say, it's really not right for you, Mr. Trump, to say you're going to return Iran to the Stone Age? It's really not right, Mr. Trump, to say, open the strait. It's really not right, Mr. Trump, to say, you will destroy every bridge and power plant in Iran. Why does everyone hold back? Why do our newspapers say, oh, I wonder what Donald Trump is going to do next? It's time, actually, for this not to happen. This is a kind of insanity. This is not politics by other means. This is just murder before our eyes by a deranged old man and an absolutely vicious war criminal, Benjamin Netanyahu.
All right. And I think, I think at this point we probably heard, you know, we could listen to the last couple of comments by him, but, you know, I think we all got the gist of it by now. And I can only imagine the words that he was actually saying that they were beeping out because they were warranted. Okay. Yes, in Colossians 3, we're supposed to watch the filthy language out of our mouth. I get it. But boy, let me tell you, if there ever was a time that those words were warranted. Oh, boy. Oh, anyway, but we have to be good. All right. So anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So well worth hearing. I have never heard Professor Sachs go off like that. And he has every right to be. And it was on the, I believe it was recorded on the eve. There have been a number of days. Now, many of you may not be aware of this. I'm very aware of it. But there have been a number of days in the last 4 or 5 days that the experts out there, and I do mean the ones that are the closest to, you know, the military and the military decisions and the decisions to start the war back up and all that other stuff, they were convinced that it was going to start. That it was, you know, there was a lot of information coming out from pretty impressive sources saying that the 7th and the 8th, that something was going to happen by the 7th and the 8th. So I think this is a power. Dracos are, they hate humans. They eat humans. Okay, and they hate human children, which explains its behavior. Okay, and they look extremely down on human beings. So the more that they can torment, torture, inflict pain, murder, rape, you name it, the more they enjoy themselves. That's just the types of entities that these are. They're extremely vicious. It's a level of viciousness that people just wouldn't understand. It's sort of like walking in on one of their satanic parties and seeing them, you know, with something on the table that should not be there, if you know what I mean. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. Here is that woman freaking out because she discovered what I discovered 15 years ago. But I'm very glad that they're continuing forward because it means that I wasn't just being a raving lunatic over the Garden Grove facility that had an incinerator mounted to the side of its building. Anyway, so let's listen to what this lady has to say. And I don't have her name, so I know a person named Susie posted it, but I don't know who's doing the talking. So anyway, let's go ahead and bring this up. Here we go.
Buying incinerators.
All right. Don't know why the volume is so remarkably low. All of the sources that come off the internet nowadays all seem to be at different volume levels, so I have to keep on adjusting stuff. Let's give it a try again.
ICE is buying incinerators, and now we have proof. A Navy contract was just released showing the Navy is managing the construction of a massive network of immigration detention centers across the nation. And what's included in the contract is extremely disturbing. It describes tent cities that can hold 10,000 people each, with a specific provision for biohazard incinerators under the medical and death section. That means they are specifically planning for death and choosing to burn the evidence right there on site. The reason DHS is paying the Navy $55 billion for this is so they can get this nationwide network of giant detention centers with infrastructure for handling death built as quickly as possible. And they tried to do it quietly by updating the Navy's existing contract to make this deal instead of creating a new contract specifically for this. Here are my sources if you want more information.
All righty then. So I have no doubt that there are plenty of other people that are fully aware of these kinds of things. The contracts, the military contracts, a lot of people don't know this, are searchable. They're open so even you, if you know the URLs and everything, can go and search them. And then when you look in them, you can actually see what they're requesting. You know, it'll say, such and such a building with an incinerator with it and da-da-da-da. And, a lot of these folks are very sharp about these kinds of things. And they're doing all the heavy lifting. You know, this is stuff, like I said, I've known about for a really long time. Cremation container for a cadaver. And we even know why. Oh, it's just so much fun. So there's a reason why there are a lot of experts in this area. We had Doc Marquis before he passed away and went to heaven. He was deep into the Illuminati and had toured a death camp, a FEMA death camp located out in the Nevada desert, probably not too far away from S4, and it had the ability to kill and cremate 40,000 people a day. That is a phenomenal amount. Okay. Heimlich Himmler would have been like, whoa, you are the bomb. Okay. But anyway, it's hard to believe this stuff is all happening again. But even when I was studying World War II Germany, and, did you know that if you put on the map of Europe, the five top death camps of the Nazis, Treblinka, Dachau, Auschwitz, all of them, what you discover is that they make a pentagram. How about that? So when you draw across a line, I don't care if you use a pen or a pencil, whatever. You can use a fountain pen for all I care. But when you draw lines between all the different, the five major death camps, it makes a pentagram, which is Satan's most evil symbol, which is surprisingly like the Pentagon. Oh. If we could only see. If we could only see. All right. Well, praise God, we are at the 1 hour mark. And on that note, we will go ahead and roll into, guess what? The second hour. God bless you all. See you on the second hour.